Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is the Ben Burnett Show, the only show in America that features a one-term has-been retired politician that nobody knows.
Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. My guest today is Fulton County Commissioner Liz Houseman. Liz, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ben. Great to be here.
Are you nervous? You got all your talking points? How's campaigning?
Which question do you want me to answer?
Yeah, all of them. All of them. And then we're going to run through everything.
I'm exhausted, so that calms the nerves.
Yeah. It's hard to feel anything else.
Yeah. Spent the morning waving signs at early voting precincts and had a little fun with that.
So today, for those of you who don't know, is October 17th when we are recording. It's the first day of early voting.
Yes.
How was it heavier than you anticipated? Were people just amped up to go, or did they drive right past you?
We got a lot of waves and honks. People, you know, were on the way to work primarily, or getting their Monday started. It was light as far as people that actually voted. I mean, bear in mind the governor's debate is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So while you think most people have made up their mind, I think that people still want to see that before they might go vote.
So for those of you who don't know, Liz Houseman is a public service fixture. I think you know a lot about various levels of government. And I say that, unlike some people, in an endearing way, because you know how things work. And you have decided to hang up your career on the Fulton County Commission, where we had the opportunity to work together, and run for a newly created Senate seat. What made you think about evaluating where what you wanted to do when you grow up and make a jump like that?
Well, in some respects, I don't know that it's a huge leap. And I have been exposed and served in every form of local government that there is, school board, a city council, and in the last 12 years, almost 12 years, on the Fulton County Commission. And so, yes, I do know how government works, and I've worked closely with our legislators over the years in various capacities. So I feel like it's somewhat of a natural progression in that I do understand the process. I do like to get things done, and I've got a record of that. And, you know, the district itself, yes, is newly created. It was formerly up in Bartow and Cherokee County, and because of redistricting.
And we grew.
Because of redistricting, it moved south. It is a very diverse, evenly divided district. I have a history of working with anybody and everybody to get things done, regardless of your political stripes, because I'm in the minority on the Fulton County Commission.
And you have to learn how to play that way, and you have to figure out where your hard lines are and where they aren't, and how you help people accomplish things that they want to do, even though you may have a soft disagreement with some of it. Nobody in politics gets 100% of what they want. And you have still managed to drive results for North Fulton. And I think in a seat that, let's be honest, is 4-3 Republican Democrat in its current form, I don't know that there's a better compliment I could give somebody than to say you drive results, you help your local municipalities, you have had the opportunity to get kicked in the teeth over some really, really, really tough issues, and you continue to get up and do what is best for your constituents. But let's back up. What got you interested in public service to begin with? And talk about your background and your education and the things that made you who you are before you decided you wanted to qualify and put your name on a ballot.
So I am the least likely person to have ever entered into political service, political positions. Actually, you know, I was the I'm from Georgia. My mother was a teacher. My father was a preacher. Grew up here. There's not many of us around.
Teacher, preacher kids
that grew up in Georgia. There's not many of us around. But that being said, you know, it was the last thing that was on my mind. I was raising a family, doing the room mom thing and the team mom thing and, you know, all those kind of things. And ended up in North Fulton because of the schools. Schools are great in North Fulton. You probably moved there probably because of the schools as
well. I did. I knew that one day I would have children in them.
Yes. And, you know, just started getting involved in the community, became my HOA president.
Oh, that's probably the hardest job you've ever had.
Absolutely. I thought we were going to redecorate the clubhouse, but no, the retaining wall that kept the pool away from the tennis court was failing. And so we had to reassess and pay for the repairs. And so that was a eye-opening experience. But, you know, it just really, really was unexpected. I did get involved in the local Republican Party. And I think my mom's skills kicked in. And once you are known as a worker bee, they ask you to do more and more and more. And I became chairman. And that was a year also of redistricting. And we put forward maps that would reflect the growth in North Fulton because it was historic. And the Fulton County Commission would not recognize those maps and passed a different map. So we decided we should sue. And we won. We went to the Supreme Court, Georgia Supreme Court, and we won. And the ruling did come down very late, 2 weeks before qualifying. So, but what we did get out of that win was a new school board seat. And the candidate that we had recruited decided that she wasn't ready.
That's hard.
She wasn't expecting it to happen, you know, that scenario. So the existing school board member and I, whose district was going to get cut in half, went around trying to interview anybody that would fit the bill, that would be, you know, qualified and that could run. And we couldn't really find a candidate. I ended up running, and it wasn't something I'd planned to do by any stretch of the imagination. Here I am.
I don't know that I ever knew that story. As you talk about schools, I know education is important to you, especially with where you're going to represent. But as you move away from the school board, what were the issues of the day that were really, really important to parents?
Back then?
Yeah, and what's the same and what's changed?
Well, okay, so back then, I mean, I mentioned the historic growth. Our kids were in trailers. There were no, we've got beautiful school buildings now after, you know, 20 years of East Boss that pays for our buildings. Back then, it was, you know, debt that was incurred to build buildings. And so it
Millage rates and property taxes.
Yes, yes. And so the penny sales tax for construction was a game changer. And so we were going through those growing pains where, you know, Fulton County Schools is the only non-contiguous school district in the country because the city of Atlanta is in the center of it. So you really have two separate school districts in one, governed by one. And so, you know, there was a lot of discontent. South Fulton had a lot of buildings. They were old. They needed maintenance. North Fulton had very few buildings, and our kids were in trailers. So we had to prioritize where that penny that everybody was paying for was going to be allocated. It was very very stressful time as we worked through all that.
You were very instrumental when the cities were founded in North Fulton. And you may not take this as the highest compliment or the thing that you look back at this point being in it and being the most proud of, but I have to imagine outside of Alpharetta and Roswell, the creation of Johns Creek and Mountain Park and Milton was something that I know you were instrumental in. And, you know, you do the Johns Creek City Council thing for a little while. I imagine you've got all the name ID there you could ever want to shake a stick at. But what drove the decision-making process? Because I lived in Gwinnett County until I went to college and did not move back to Georgia essentially until 2011. And things changed. And I remember going to see my parents in Gwinnett, who are unincorporated, like most of that city was at the, or most of that county was at the time, and thinking after living in Alpharetta for about 3 weeks, I was like, man, it feels really different here. I wonder if it's like a get what you pay for kind of thing. But what made you so involved in the creation of those cities and inspired you, you know, in an even more local government capacity?
So, honestly, being on the Board of Ed and having to work on a lot of things with the County Commission just exacerbated my feelings of they really did not have much interest in hearing from North Fulton. They certainly weren't spending any money in North Fulton. They had a $10 million road budget for the entire county. The priorities were just not quality of life issues that we faced in North Fulton. So creating the new cities in North Fulton was, I don't want to say a cakewalk, but in Johns Creek, we had an area that was under controversy. We called it Area B that Roswell really wanted to annex into their city. And so those folks had a separate choice of, you know, yes or no on going into Johns Creek when we finally had the vote. And then Area A, of course, only had, you know, the choice of Johns Creek or not. And combined, we won with 86% of the vote just because Fulton County had neglected us for so long. I mean, the Area B that could have, you know, said no and potentially gone into Roswell had to trust that the new city was viable financially and that the leadership that had emerged to, you know, campaign for the city, Mike Bodker and company and myself, was, you know, capable of turning the lights on.
How long does it take after a new city? In this, look, you see them every session. There are cities that think about joining out of counties. You saw, you know, East Cobb. You see several efforts with the city of Buckhead. You see them all over the place. And I am a city fan, which is not necessarily how you get elected into a state senate seat. So I'll ask this and we will move forward. But what do you think the benefit was that you saw first hand of moving into a newly minted municipality, having been the hands and feet of that operation? What did you see change the most, and how did it make people's lives better? Because I tell everybody who asks, writes me even still about asking about what would you do to get this city created? What would you do? How do you have a good relationship with the county? And I'm like, look, it's going to be dicey, but I never lived through it. What would you say that you were the most proud of about the decision to be involved and really get that off the ground? Because if I didn't know you and I only knew you through what I read over the course of the last 15 or 20 years, it would be that. And I think that that's a tremendous compliment because it's like the HOA retaining wall. You're not going to read your name in the paper, but like that's the thing that matters.
So there's so many things, but you know, public safety is really at the top of the list. When we started the city of Johns Creek, we had three cops on the beat on any shift.
Three, that's less than one hand.
Correct. When we started the new city, and it took us a year and a half to get a police department. You can't just turn that on overnight. So we were still having IGA, intergovernmental agreement, with Fulton County to provide the police and fire services. And we were not their top priority, I can tell you that. And a lot of times some of the cops would call me up and say, Liz, you know, guess where I'm at? Well, guess where I'm supposed to be at?
Yeah, sure.
You know, they were in South Fulton, but they were
growing pains.
Right. So starting that the first, you know, fire department and then the police department, we went from three cops on a shift to 11. I mean, that's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of a sudden people felt safe. If, you know, it was an adjustment for folks. They were like, I just got a ticket for not having a seatbelt on. What's up with that?
you still have to do that now. Yeah. And you had to do it then. Only they can find you.
So there was enough folks to actually enforce the law. And traffic fatalities plummeted. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
When you move into a county commission role, and we talked briefly about being the minority party member, but being somebody, when I see, and I say this again as a compliment, as a, when I see the 5-2 votes or the, I always know that it, if it is not a hill, I really respect how you have represented the southern part of the county, even if you got a disproportionate share in return, because I live in Alpharetta and they maintain the sewer lines and the water lines, and they're very expensive and they're very important. But what are the things that you are immensely proud of that you can take with you that you think will allow you to reach across the aisle and bring success to the residents? Because you're going to have a, you're going to have a part, little part of Gwinnett County?
No, it's all in Fulton.
It's all in Fulton. Mm-hmm. Roswell, Alpharetta, Johns Creek.
Basically Avalon to Phipps Plaza.
And Buckhead.
I got three Atlanta precincts. Buckhead, yes, sir.
You are, what do you think from your 12 years on the county commission that are going to allow you to be an effective legislator? Having sat in the minority power, and if you were elected, you will sit in the majority, but you don't get to unwear some of those battle scars and know how to do good things for people, regardless of political party, because, you know, everybody campaigns on guns and unborn kids and all of those things. But that's so little about what you're going to do. How do you think that that has affected your ability to think and process and realize when you're able to help people that may not fundamentally agree with some of your beliefs?
I feel like you have to start with a position of what we agree on and establish those relationships. And that's really what I've tried to do. You know, everybody really at the end of the day wants the same thing for their families. They want them to be safe, healthy, and taken care of.
Absolutely.
Right? Education. Everybody wants the same thing for their kids. So if you can start there, and if you can build a rapport, if you can you know, work with somebody on something in their district that really has nothing to do with you, but if it makes sense, then they're going to help you out with something in yours when that issue comes up. And so, you know, we've had some tough issues. And just in the last couple of years, look at the elections, you know, how world-renowned Fulton County became.
Everyone knows us now.
Everyone knows us, and that's not the way you want to be known, right? First of all, those problems we, you know, that just went, you know, on steroids in 2020 were not new problems. The elections department in Fulton County has been chaotic forever.
Look, when I ran for a city council seat, I didn't know I won until after midnight, and the polls closed at 7. And I knew because I had pulled the doors and just figured out, you know, I would have had to have taken an immense beating in early voting in order to lose. But I could literally hand count 4,000 ballots in 2 hours by myself. How on earth is it that ineffective? So I think to the point that you have been critical of the Fulton Board of Elections because it's not a new issue. And for those of you who just came along and thought that like the voting in Fulton and DeKalb are new things after 2020, they've been bad for as long as I've lived here. And I venture to guess as long as you have.
So what you just mentioned about not having the results until midnight, that was actually really good for Fulton County to have it by midnight.
And that is pitiful.
It is pitiful. And that used to be the big thing. And I would say, you know, don't you think it's reasonable that a candidate would want to know the results the same day as the election? I think that's a pretty
makes sense.
Pretty easy thing that could be a goal that we could accomplish. And so we focused on that. Before the new equipment, before the pandemic, before the 2020 meltdown, we had gotten to where we could pretty much guarantee that we would get results in the same day as the election. But again, when 2020 hit, and it really wasn't in November that the real problems emerged. It was in June for that primary when we had a lot of folks at the last minute say, oh, we don't want you to have a voting location at our location because COVID, people were hesitant to work. So we really had a disaster. We had people voting till after midnight on the primary day, and they were primarily in South Fulton. So the very next commission meeting, I was upset. The other North Fulton commissioners were upset, but the ones that were really upset were the South Fulton commissioners.
Because they didn't have anybody to blame?
Well, because they were the ones where the lines were so long and people were voting, you know, in the dark in the middle of the night.
Right.
And so there was a big cry at that point, you know, to, you know, off with their heads. All these folks that can't run elections need to go. That calmed down. And then 2020 happened, and we all know how you know, all the problems.
That was where Fulton became publicly famous.
It was. But, you know, then the Democrats decided that they liked the results. And so they were okay with keeping the leadership in place. And it was still, in my opinion, nothing to hang your hat on, nothing to be proud of at all, the way we handled that election. And, you know, we did everything we could publicly. We asked, you know, for recounts and, you know, to look at the absentee ballot envelopes versus the ballots to make sure those numbers were the same. They wouldn't do anything we wanted to do. So, you know, I just decided I'm going to call for some audits. And we audited the department. We audited the temporary agency. And it was not anything that anyone could understand or say was acceptable.
When I give you a lot of credit for having the courage to do that, because to me, knowing you, it wasn't a partisan decision to make. It was a results-oriented process.
It was that we can't have this continue. We have to fix this. Well, and if you don't know what the problem is, you can't fix it.
Well, and you look in the November of 2020, with the state of Florida having all of their results tallied early voting day of, early, even by East Coast standards, and that's a huge state. And Fulton County still couldn't find their ass with both hands. So I kind of want to ask you, because I will pay you, and I mean this in the ultimate compliment. It is going to be it's going to be difficult for you're going to be in the crosshairs with newly redrawn lines for several years. But if you had to put somebody in that seat, I think having somebody who has had the opportunity to really work with the city of Atlanta and deliver results, if you asked me to pick somebody out of your district, out of everybody, I'd say I'd call Liz, because you know who you are, but you also know what's favorable to the people who, because you're going to have to pull people from both sides of the aisle, because you always have. And I think that being able to, when you talk about suburban women, as we have this conversation in Georgia, I am so excited for the opportunity that you have, because you have questions about the election. You weren't happy with the audits. You weren't happy with the process. All of that's totally fair. And I don't care where you live. It was totally fair. But I think that being able to find somebody who you could draw and to go thread the needle and win precincts in the city of Atlanta and Buckhead, I think goes to show the recipe that the Republican Party has to put together, because the state is, while it is still conservative, there are plenty of the suburban moms who we all know and you know, care about, and you can't win without them. And I think that what you put out there is going to be really instrumental as more of Metro Atlanta continues to change. And I think you, if you're elected, have an immense amount of power early, because there's probably not another Republican that's going to represent any part of any precinct in Atlanta. And I am so excited for the opportunity that you're going to have, should you win, to be able to show the rest of the Metro Atlanta, quit putting these issues out there that cause me so much trouble. And as we have run very far to the right with a lot of the state, and the some of the state in Metro Atlanta has run very far to the left, we're going to have Liz. And I think that common sense, I honestly don't care where we find it, because I'm not a Trump apologist. I am a conservative ideologist. I believe in less government regulation. I believe in pave my roads, keep me safe, leave me alone. And I think to have somebody with your credibility be like, why are you bringing me this bill? Do you know how hard it is to win these people over on issues is so powerful. And I really think that you're going to be the right person, because you will have an enormous stick if you sit in that seat to say, quit bringing me this crap, because you're going to get me in trouble. And somebody has to be bold enough to say it out loud.
Well, I am a suburban woman.
You are.
I am.
You identify as one, and you are one.
And, you know, I'm also someone that's known for stating the obvious. And sometimes to the good, and sometimes it gets me in trouble. You know, so you have to be careful how you present things. But there is absolutely no reason that the Republican Party lost the trust of suburban women.
None.
There's no reason for it.
Because you can't win statewide without them anymore.
You can. And you know, we've always been the party of pro-families,
mm-hmm.
whether
good
it's
schools.
Good schools, you know, educational opportunities, economic opportunities. So for us to have lost that huge, important voting block just made no sense to me whatsoever. And so I see the tide turning in that. You know, I'm out talking to people all the time right now. And that's what people are concerned about. They're concerned about their family safety. They're concerned about, you know, what's going on in the schools and if their parents have a voice or not. And they're concerned about the economy, how they're going to afford to continue to live in a nice area like North Fulton.
Lastly, when you talk about what those issues are that you have made the core competencies of your campaign, is there anything you feel like I have missed that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, the district is on paper very split R&D. It's technically, and these are Trump numbers, can't base a lot on Trump numbers, an R2 district, so it's 51-49 Republican. So that means that most of the people in this district consider themselves to be independent, moderate, independent thinkers. And so, you know, that's a broad brush. You can't be extreme on either side and actually relate to this particular district, okay? So I think that my history and what I have been able to accomplish in the environment I've been in for 12 years and bring a lot of things to North Fulton that we never had before. We had no services north of the river. You know that.
There's a very pretty library that sits next to a city hall I sat in for 4 years that has you. It doesn't have your name on it. It may have to come to pass like one of these days. But that's one of the it matters to people how it looks and how it feels.
So the first few versions of that, it looked like Frank Lloyd Wright. And I was like,
Donald Mitchell would have had a conniption.
I was like, no. This is what's going in right next door. First of all, getting it as part of the downtown Alpharetta was such a great collaboration with the city of Alpharetta, because we originally had a site down by Wills Park. So, you know, to have it in the downtown area where people are, where families are, was huge. So we worked that out. Great, great win for the community. But then it needed to look like
the rest of
City Hall, you know. And I remember having them come into my office and show me that. I said, oh, no, that just won't do. So they came back and they had a little bit more of a less modern.
Do you know what a brick looks like?
Yeah. And
we need about 100,000 of them.
I literally had to tell the guy, he's like, well, people want technology and they want modern, you know, amenities and everything. And I said, great, let's have that on the inside.
Absolutely.
Let's let the outside look like Alpharetta.
When you I want to talk to you real quick, and we will close here. A day in the life of candidate in a 50-50, 51-49, I'll call it 50-50, district. Outside of, like, let's not forget, if you win, you're a part-time legislator. So you're still in the you're still in the business of you have to have another job.
Correct.
How do you manage? And I, you know, I asked Burt Jones this, and I was like, dude, how on earth do you get up and run for statewide office? Because I don't know how you'd even do it locally. Not with the scale, because it's essentially a third of a congressional district. It's huge. How do you manage your day-to-day activities now and just going from one thing to the next and keeping your head down? Because I imagine not very much of your day is your own. This may be your social hour for the entire week.
And thank you for providing that. You know, life is about choices and challenges, and you just learn to go with the flow. Right now, it's pretty intense campaigning, you know. And I'm a consultant, and I, you know, nothing ever stops. So emails, and you can do your work product at night. That's really my life right now. But I'll figure it out. I always have. And I'm not really that concerned about, you know, things like sleep at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's good. If you required a lot of it, it would be the wrong thing for you to be doing. Liz, talk to me about the differences between you and your opponent.
Well, there's a lot of differences. The main difference is our view on public safety items, and that is one of the most important things folks are concerned about, especially that part of the district that's in Buckhead. You know, they don't feel safe at all. And then as you move further and further north, it gets what people consider to be a more safe area. But they're still very concerned because crime is happening, and major serious crimes happening everywhere. I'm running against someone that really, sounds cliche, favors felons over families. He has a history of, as a legislator, of being against things that protect people. He has voted against the Attorney General's gang crackdown bill. He has lobbied against Atlanta and Fulton County reaching an agreement to house some of our inmates over at the Atlanta jail. He has voted, he's the only legislator in both sides of the Senate and the House that voted against increasing penalties for predators that commit sexual crimes against children. So, I mean, he is just out of touch with the district in his position on favoring the rights of criminals over the victims of those criminals.
How do you, when you had, and you had a debate last week or the week before.
Yes.
What are the other things that you could highlight besides public safety where the two of you part ways?
Well, on economic issues, he has not supported any of the tax cuts that have been passed at the legislature. He doesn't focus on anything outside of what's going on with criminals. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. He pays a lot of attention to what's happening on the national level, but nothing that's happening on the local level.
It is so important. Well, Liz Houseman, I want to thank you for the opportunity to sit down with you. I know you're very busy. I want to thank everybody who listens, Extra 106.3 and Dickey Broadcasting Company. And Liz, you're welcome anytime. I look forward to talking to you in the session so we can talk about the nuts and bolts of what you really want to do for the people that live in your district in the state of Georgia as a suburban woman.
I look forward to that. Thanks for having me on today.
See you next time. It's been another episode of the Ben Burnett Show. Thanks again, everybody. When it comes to building your business, no one knows it quite like you, but taking the next step to innovate it, grow it, expand it, that takes a special kind of know-how. The First Horizon Commercial Banking Team in Atlanta brings a depth of experience and insights that builds on the bank's deep balance sheet capabilities. So you don't have to choose between building a bank that knows how to optimize your growth strategies and one that is fully equipped to help you execute every part of them. Visit firsthorizon.com to find a banker near you.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.